Hello. In recent audio snippets, we have been talking about the Civil War and some of the military people in the Union Army that were there and who were tolerated, you could say, by Lincoln. And we, the intention behind that is just to get a sense of why the Civil War, the American Civil War, dragged on for so long, and to show Lincoln's general incompetence. But it was more of a moral incompetence that translated into military incompetence and was reflected in a lot of the bad people that he had around him. Or sometimes he had decent people, but instead of listening to their voices, usually he would stop hearing them and demote them or do things to kind of get them out of his way so that he could continue with his incompetent agenda. And behind all of that, there is something there that reflects a problem, an underlying problem with the U.S. military per se. And it's an issue that seems unrelated to slavery and Black America and all that, but is in a certain sense very related. And you could say that it's all, in some senses, it's almost the same problem. So we'll talk about that hopefully in some more detail in this audio snippet. We need to say this because it's never been said about the U.S. military. And it's part of the changes that need to be done if this country is to fulfill its purpose, its calling, and survive its imminent death. So if it survives its imminent death, then this will need to be addressed and changed. And I believe it has to be addressed even in the Constitution, in the new American Constitution, because we cannot allow that cancer within the American military system to fester for much longer. But before we talk about all of that, I feel the need to digress a bit. Maybe this is all related in some ways. It's really maybe not so much of a digression, but technically we're going to talk about something a little different just for a moment. And it has to do with two things that are related. They may not seem too related on the surface, but they are, like, one is the consequence of the other, you could say. And first is the situation with the January 6th prisoners. And as some of you may know, the January 6th prisoners are the people who protested on January 6th of 2021, who went to Washington, D.C. and protested in front of the Capitol building because that day the Electoral College was voting and Miguelito Pence, little bastard boy, the conservative Christian bastard boy who was the vice president, had the opportunity to reject that Electoral College vote because of all the fraud questions surrounding the election. Well, they are not really fraud questions. They're just fraud facts. But Miguelito Pence chose not to step up, being the coward and the idiot conservative Christian that he is. That didn't pan out, and in the meantime, the Democrats used the January 6th protests, which had been foretold for a long time. It's not like they suddenly spontaneously appeared or appeared without notifying anybody. Everyone knew that that event was going to happen. And the Democrats planned a very elaborate plan to turn that into an event that would demonize Trump and that they could then pivot to destroy him, to destroy his supporters, and to kind of destroy the Trump movement in America. And Trump idiotically fell for it. He wasn't perceiving what was going on. As you may know, as that day approached, Trump asked the whore who will burn in hell very soon, Nancy Pelosi. He asked her and I guess the people in Washington to let the National Guard come in to make sure that the event was going to be safe and that there would be no violence, so to contain any potential violence outbreak. And the whore Pelosi and the people in Washington, D.C., the Capitol, I guess that would include the mayor and so forth, said, no, we don't want that. Because obviously they were preparing for something that they could use to then demonize Trump and his supporters. And Trump, to this day, I don't understand why Trump had to ask anyone for anything. He was at the time the official commander in chief. He could have just put the guards in there and then kind of thwarted the plan. And he could have done other things to make sure that whatever was cooking would not happen. But his ears were not alert. This man who claims to be a Christian, and I believe he is, who supposedly then would be listening to the voice of God, somehow was unable to hear the voice of God and know that this was going to happen. I mean, if God exists and there is a certain reality to him and a relationship to him, you would expect a person who has a real relationship with him in such a position of power and authority and responsibility to be able to hear some sort of warning. But he just kept getting caught over and over again with his pants, with his trousers down, caught by surprise by all these people that kept stabbing him in the back and doing all these things to him, and he would never realize what had just happened. Like every time it was taken by surprise, so where was his God? And to me, the question is more, where was his ears? You know, where were his ears to hear, you know, what was happening, to understand it and get a warning and a sense of what was being done around him, against him, by the people around him. So January 6th happened, and many of you know some of the details of what happened afterwards and the political persecution that followed, people being, normal Americans who just went there to protest and who made the mistake of making their opinions known through social media. And meaning that they plastered their thoughts and their hatred of Democrats and all that in public forums, all these people had all of that used against them to have their homes raided and them being arrested in front of their families when they were not criminals or guerrilla people or terrorists or anything of the sort, and they have been kept in prison in Washington, D.C. without trial, most of them, and with no real explanation of why they're there, and they're just rotting in prison, and some of them are being sentenced to, every now and then you hear another person being sentenced to years, 7 years or whatever, or more in prison for things that really minimal. They were just protesting. They were some of them are being sentenced just for having been there in Washington D.C. during in the protest, even though they didn't actually go into the building, the Capitol building, and stayed outside. And even so, they're being arrested and sentenced to harsh sentences. So there's a great injustice going on there. But on the one hand, I feel very bad for them, very, very bad. But I also feel that they were foolish in not listening, because most of these people are conservative Christians. So I go, where was your God, and why weren't you listening to this God? If he is real, why weren't you aware of what was going on? Why were you supporting this man who would then turn around and not do for you what you were trying to do for him? So in a sense, they got betrayed by Trump, because Trump did not prepare for that day, and afterwards he has not really done much, if anything, for them. So they were fighting for this man that was not going to fight for them, and so I kind of feel bad for them. But on the other hand, I feel like it's not that they deserve what is happening to them. It's all very unfair, very evil. But it's like when you are friends with someone that you shouldn't be friends with, you know, some criminal, and you refuse to cut the friendship off because you like the person, and then you get into trouble and get caught up in some bad circumstance. And then you end up in prison, even though you didn't commit any crime, but because of this connection with this person, you end up in trouble. That's sort of kind of how these people are, how these people ended up in trouble for supporting a man that did not deserve to be supported, unfortunately. What angers me is how Trump has used the January 6th people in his rallies to kind of get people going about how bad things are right now without him. So I don't believe, I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's not doing this on purpose, like a cynical politician just using January 6th as a way to get people emotionally stirred during his speeches. I do believe he does care to some level about these people, the January 6th prisoners. To me, it's like assuming that's his condition in his heart, that he does care for these people, and he's sincerely saying things about their situation in his rallies. Assuming that, I'm still very angry at him, because I know, and history will get very angry with him as well. Many years from now, what I'm saying will be the prevailing sense or opinion, if you could call it that, of what happened during all this time. Because many years from now, all of this will be made very clear, and everybody will look back and see, how did the people of that generation not see all of that? This is probably the most stupid generation in American history. And a lot of people, 100, 200 years from now, are going to look back and go, wow, those people were morons. When people look back on this, they will say, how could Trump just be so passive about the situation? Because I shared before that if I were in his position, if I had his authority or his name recognition and his influence with people, popularity and all that, I would have, after being forced out of office, I would have done things differently, so I might not have been forced out of office to begin with. But assuming I had been, I would have, after seeing what was happening to the January 6th prisoners, I would have gone down to Washington, D.C., and being a billionaire, I would have just bought some sort of RV or something like that, and stayed outside, living outside of the Capitol building. Or in that area, camping there, and with a loud, with a megaphone or something, stood every day outside the Capitol building, protesting against what had happened to those prisoners. And I'd go to the places where they are being imprisoned and done the same thing. And I would have been doing that over and over and over and over again. Can you imagine the public attention that would be drawn by a former president of the United States doing this, protesting against what's being done to the January 6th prisoners, and then going to the prisons and demanding that he be able that he or other people or legal counsel or whatever be allowed in, or the media to be allowed in and see what's how they're being treated and this and that and the other. Because a lot of a few brave politicians have tried, Republicans have tr Congress people have tried to visit these prisoners in the prisons, and they have always been denied. I mean, because these people are being treated like they are in some sort of American Siberia, some sort of gulag, and they're being very badly treated, very unfairly treated, and they're it's being done in this isolated condition or environment that prevents most people seeing what's going on, and especially with the compliant media, lapdog media in America, their plight is going mostly unheard. But I would have made every effort possible to force the media to listen to the stories, and to force them to have to repeat to the American people what's going on, even if they try to paint it as my lies or my exaggerations. At least the message would be going out constantly. And imagine that if I even I had to be imprisoned because I became a nuisance in Washington, D.C., then arrest me, former president of the United States, arrest me. Put me in jail with the other guys, if that's what you need to do. But I would have stood up, not just using the January 6th people as political food for the masses during a rally, just using them in speeches. I would have said, okay, here we go. These people put everything on their on the line. They left all their ordinary jobs and everything to go to Washington to rally to try to save democracy in America and all that. And as we've said before, the American Republic died on November 5th of 2008. So there was nothing really to save. The country, the system is dead. And as long as we don't recognize that, we're just lying to ourselves. But these people thought they were still trying to save something that was already dead. But they were well-intentioned, and they don't deserve what's happening to them. And if I had been in that position of influence, I'd have said, okay, I'm going to fight for these people the way they try to fight for me and for the country. But he hasn't done any of that. So he's just complained every now and then. There's also the lady who was murdered inside the Capitol building by a security person. She was unarmed and everything. And we all know who killed her, a black bastard who was working inside the security detail in the Capitol, and that guy was never charged. He was set free, you could say, or not ever prosecuted for murdering this woman. We know the story of this a lady who was outside the Capitol building who was kicked and beaten to death by the police force, and she was unarmed. She was like she was not even like a strong, athletic, powerful woman. She was just this person who, when you see her photo, you know she's not a threat, you know, a physical threat to any police force. And she was beaten to death, and to my shame, I don't remember her name. She's not talked about much. And you hear other stories of the people who were innocently murdered that day for protesting. And there's no outrage from Trump. Maybe there's outrage during his rallies, but you know, talk is cheap, and he hasn't really protested any of that openly. And I'm sure that he doesn't do that because his people advise him, saying, "Oh, you're just going to get them in more trouble because it's going to look like an organized effort that you had to do, that you were part of this, and that you were the one who told them to invade the Capitol building and this and that and the other." So he's listening to the same stupid voices that he listened to all the time, and that's why he is not doing anything to help these people. And I'm saying all of this just to emphasize that all the injustice is still going on with the January 6th people, and no one seems to care. We all complain every now and then when we hear the stories, but no action is really being taken, and there's very little that can be done. But a person like Trump could do something, and he's not doing it because he really does not care as much as we think he does, or most people. Not I don't include myself in that. But most people think of him at a higher level than he really is, and I feel this is all related to what we've been talking about, because Trump and Lincoln are very similar in many ways, you know. And Trump has always been elevated to this level of this genius 3D chess guy, and this and that and the other, and this great man, raised to that level by the conservatives who support him, especially Christians who see him as this godsend. And in a sense, you could say he was a godsend. He just didn't rise up to the task, not even close. And you can say the same thing about Lincoln. So two people who have this high reputation in the people who support him, in the minds of the people who support them, but who really are not what they are cracked up or advertised to be. And so that was one thing I needed to say, which is very sad. And this goes into the second thing that I wanted to mention in this audio snippet, and it has to do with the FBI raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago, or whatever it's pronounced, home in Florida, which happened on the 8th of August of 2022. Around 5 or 6 days ago. And it was this raid that the FBI did on his home there in Florida. And they ransacked the place looking for some who knows what documents. And Trump was not there. I think he was here in the New York area at the time. So they chose a moment when he was not there to supposedly do it as a low profile thing, quote unquote. And that was a very, very troubling thing, because that's the only places where you see something like that is in third world countries run by third class dictatorships, where they use the government official machinery to politically persecute the opposition, you know, to attack them and destroy them. That's what they do in third world countries. So it was a very sad day when that happened. But what I wanted to talk about was not so much that, but the whole reaction to what happened. I began to finally see a sense of doom and gloom in conservatives about what's going on in the country, like finally kind of realizing, hey, you know, I think things are worse than we really are understanding. And even Trump kind of got a bit of a sense of that, because I saw some of his tweets or read an article that was showing some of the things he said, maybe on Twitter. Well, not on Twitter, I'm sorry, on another form of media that he uses now, because they banned him from Twitter a long time ago. But an official statement or something, but he immediately after that happened, he wrote this these interesting paragraphs, where he was saying, yes, we have become a third world country. We are a third world country. And the way he spoke, it's like, oh, he's getting a sense of where we really are right now. But then he turned it into a positive, trying to say, oh, no, but we are a great people and we're going to come back and blah, blah, blah. And America will be great again and blah, blah, blah. But for the first time, I saw this certain sense of awareness of where we really are right now. But it was very limited. And I've seen the same thing with conservatives, really seeing, you know, it's like... read an article where it's like that the 8th of August of 2022, when that raid, FBI raid happened, was almost like the day America died. I've read articles kind of going in that direction. And I wanted to mention one article in particular, and I'm not going to say the name of the person. He writes often on this conservative website that I go to every now and then. I can't go to the liberal websites because they are just nonsense, fluff, and lies. So there's nothing to read there except contamination. So when I try to get a sense of what's going on, I try to go to the conservative sites, and even there I get so disheartened by the stupidity that I read. What can I do? The thing is that in this article by this person, which shall remain nameless, he talks about, you know, he asks the question, are we witnessing the collapse of America's system of government? And I since I've read his articles in the past, I know that he is a Christian. And he's apparently written books about, you know, the Bible and interpreting modern events in the context of the Bible and the apocalypse and stuff like that. So I know he is a conservative Christian through and through. And I kind of went through the article very quickly, and then I kind of went down to the end, and I know, okay, he was just repeating everything that's wrong, the hypocrisy of the FBI, how they kind of overlooked Clinton's emails, and that's another long story not worth repeating here. And so they overlook all this other stuff that's gone on in the past with Democrats and clear corruption, but now they're trying to they hold conservatives by a much, 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 much higher standard, so high that even a righteous person cannot fulfill it. So he's going on about that and all those things, and then at the end, because I wanted to get to, you know, okay, what's the conclusion here from him? What does he really, at the end of the day, get about all of this? And I'll read to you the last three paragraphs of this article. And the first paragraph says, Once people lose faith in our system, it will be nearly impossible to restore it. Okay, so he's saying, okay, people losing faith in the system. And we've been talking in all these audio snippets about how fundamentally flawed the American system is. So it drew my attention that he said it this way, you know, once people lose faith in our system, it will be nearly impossible to restore it. But he's more or less talking about people not trusting the system anymore, but not necessarily saying the system was bad. It's just that people are not trusting it anymore. But okay, but at least he's kind of getting there. So then the next paragraph says, these are like one sentence paragraphs. Then he writes, for the very first time since the founding of our nation, the very legitimacy of our system of governments being called into question. So that kind of also drew my attention, since the founding of our nation. Okay, we've been talking in these audio snippets about our founding fathers and all the flaws in the system that have allowed things to degrade into what we have now. So he talks about that, and then he talks about the legitimacy of our system, and that's what we've been questioning in these audio snippets. Not questioning, just exposing the illegitimacy of the system in the sense of how detached it is from metaphysical reality. If something is detached from metaphysical reality, from what is real, then it's illegitimate. Even if it's the legal, even if it's the law of the land, it is illegal. It is philosophically illegitimate, if you want to put it that way. So, I prefer the word metaphysically illegitimate. But the thing is that, so he's beginning to talk about the, you know, the questioning of the legitimacy of the system, but he keeps saying it in the third person, as if saying, oh, people are questioning the system that our founding fathers left behind. But he's still not saying the system is bad. It's just that people are beginning to lose faith in it and question it. For the first time, he said, for the very first time since the founding of our nation. It's like we begin to wonder, you know, because we've always believed America is this wonderful nation, born with a destiny and this, that, and the other. And it has flaws and problems, but we're still this wonderful system, wonderful nation. And he's saying for the very first time since the founding of our nation, we're beginning to wonder, I mean, this nation, is it really that great? Are we doomed to die soon? Is it beyond rescue? So it's all very interesting. And then I get to the third and last paragraph of this article. And it says, everyone can see that our federal government has become deeply, deeply corrupt. And at some point, all of that corruption could cause it to completely collapse. And in a sense, my heart kind of collapsed a little bit as I read that. Because I said, the idiot didn't get it. The conservative Christian, who supposedly listens to a God that apparently, that I would say, if I went on him alone, it's like, if he's really listening to God, understands the voice of God, that God cannot possibly exist, because if God is real, then he couldn't possibly have his people believing all this stupidity and being so blind. So this guy, what disheartened me about him is when he ended it with everyone can see that our federal government has become deeply, deeply corrupt. And as I read that, I went, oh, okay, the federal government is corrupt. State governments are still fine. California, oh, the California state government, wonderful, wonderful. Oregon, wonderful. Washington state, wonderful government. New York state, oh my goodness, oh, what a beautiful state government we have here. New Jersey, what a beautiful state government we have. It's the federal government that's corrupt. Really, really. And I went, my goodness. So he's still defending federalism, and he's saying the problem is the federal government is overstepping its constitutional boundaries. No, so he still doesn't get it. And we've gone over and over again over over the problems with federalism and how that's a cancer in the system. And he still doesn't get it. He still thinks the problem is the federal government and not the whole system itself, especially because it is based on a federalism scheme. So he still doesn't get it. He thinks the federal government is the problem. And I go, my goodness. So what about the state governments? Like all 50 states are living in this idyllic state of peace and democracy, and it's only in Washington that things are bad, really, my goodness. And then he said, and at some point, all of that corruption could cause it to completely collapse. So in other words, he's still saying the country's not dead, but it will collapse eventually. It could collapse. He's still saying could collapse at some point. So it's like, it's like trying to get a horse to drink. The horse is dying of thirst, and there's this big lake of pleasant and wonderful water that he could drink. And you're trying to draw the horse to the water to get it to drink because, you know, it's dying. And you're pulling on it and pulling on it, and then you finally get it to within 1 foot of this wonderful lake or pond. And then he looks at the water, and something about the color doesn't suit him for some reason. And then he turns around and just gallops away. And after all your effort of getting him that close to the lake, you go, my goodness, it's just so disheartening. And that's what the same thing with conservative Christians. You try to get them to drink of the water of life, to get them to drink of the truth, and they don't want to hear any of it. And then some of them just get close. They gallop towards the water a little bit. Some are curious, and they get close, but they never drink of it. And then they walk. They go away. It's the same thing over and over again. And that's why I know I'm becoming more and more convinced that in 14 months, the country will be dead forever, unless something very dramatic happens. And this very dramatic thing happened on August 8th, and people kind of reacted and jolted. They got jolted a bit, but they really didn't really respond to it the way they needed to respond, and on the contrary, this has kind of rallied the troops around Trump, and his donations have skyrocketed, and people are who support him are even more strongly supporting him now after this FBI raid, and Trump is kind of like almost now he's going to run in 2024, so he's more emboldened to run because of all of this, and that disheartens me even more because he cannot go back. And that's why I really hope he will be dead before 2024. And the fitting way for him to die will be as he's giving a speech, a rally, and he's going on about the virtues of the great injection that he promoted through Operation Warp Speed, and he'll be touting his jabs and talking about how great America is and how smart he was in getting everybody injected with this mRNA gene therapy stuff. And as he's going on about that and going on about the war in Ukraine and criticizing it and criticizing the war in Iraq and all that, we haven't gone into much detail about that, but those are things where he's totally wrong. He doesn't understand. He's taking the attitude of the conservative Christian who doesn't understand why the war in Iraq had to be fought, because everything is about just American interest, without realizing that we defend our interests by not caring about our interests and caring about the truth, then our interests get taken care of by themselves, quote unquote. We sow and we reap, but if we're so selfish as we're going to reap destruction. It's just a fact, and conservative Christians are too stupid to understand that. So he's just voicing those opinions. So that would be the ideal way for him to die, as he's giving this speech touting the benefits of his so-called vaccines, that the ones that he promoted. Remember, he was the one who did the Operation Warp Speed to get them to market as quickly as possible without the valid checks that would have been done on any other drug. And he's the one, and he feels proud of it. All the millions of people that are dying around the world because of this. So he's going to be touting that in a rally and railing against the war in Ukraine and railing against the American involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then he's obviously been jabbed, then he's going to have a nice heart attack, a SADS incident. You know, that's a term that's been coined nowadays, SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. Stupid name, but SADS, SADS. So he's going to have his little incident of SADS and die right in front of them, in front of the whole rally, of a heart attack induced by his so-called life-saving vaccines. And that'll be the end of him. That'll be a wonderful, wonderful day, because it will just jolt people out of this sense that, oh, what we need is Trump again and things will be good again. No, we need to redo the whole system. And hopefully, as that happens, also, son of a bitch, bite me, the bastard, senile bastard, will also die in a very shameful way. Maybe pooping his pants and vomiting and just croaking in public. And that will hopefully happen around the same time as Trump, so that Trump's death will not be used by liberals to rejoice, and Bite Me's death will not be used by conservatives to think that they are right and that God is vindicating them somehow. So that will be hopefully the scenario that will happen, and maybe that will trigger a reaction in this country to realize there's something wrong, because neither side has the answer to anything, and that we really need to look deeper within and find out what's really wrong with the country and change it. That all has to happen within the next 14 months, and if it doesn't happen, then the country will be dead. And even if Trump and the other son of a bitch die, as I described just now, I still wonder, will the country get it? You know, just like with this FBI situation, FBI raid, and the article that I read, you know, it's like this jolting event happened, and they still don't get what's going on underneath. And I feel like the country is in such a level of stupidity that the same thing may happen if what I described just now happened, that people are still not going to get it, and then the country will be dead. And then there will be nothing to rescue. America will be dead. So we have 14 months, I believe. And I'm really saddened, because I've waited and waited for this generation to wake up from its idiocy. And I've waited for years, waited and waited and waited. And it's not happening. And I don't think there's much that can be done, except we have to wait for them to wake up. It's like someone who's in a coma, and you have to wait for them to come out of it. Surely you've tried everything you can but they're too stupid to come out of their coma, so all you can do is just sit down and wait. And wait. Will they react? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think this country is that well off. And I'll just say one thing that happened to me last Saturday when I was in New York. It was late at night, and I was walking around 42nd Street, and then this car showed up on 42nd Street. It was like I don't know how to describe it, but it was like this open car, like those cars that you see in on sand dunes. I'm not sure what the name of those cars are, but it was all lit up with all these LED lights, and it had this big music, you know, speaker system thingy, and the guy was just blasting away. You know, you could hear it reverberating across the entire area of Manhattan, you could say. The music was so loud. So the guy was obviously showing off, you know, and I see that all the time on 42nd Street. And he stopped at a red light, and I was walking towards the corner where he was waiting. And as I got to the corner, there was this older gentleman, tall older gentleman, who was sitting at standing at the corner, and he was just shaking his head. Because the music that the guy was playing was more or less like Hispanic type music. I don't remember if it was in English or Spanish. I didn't want to pay attention to it. I had my earbuds on. But you could hear the annoying. It was just horrible grating music. And as I walked past this older gentleman, and the car then sped off, because the light went green, and then he left the corner just as I arrived there. The older gentleman was shaking his head, and he said something as I walked by. I took off my earbuds and said, "Sorry." And then he said, "What a horrible music, what, don't you think?" "Oh yeah, terrible music." And then he said, "Is this what this generation likes? Is this the music they listen to? It's horrible." Yeah, and then I was kind of agreeing with him, and then he said, "Well, you know, it's not like, yeah, like in the old days you had Led Zeppelin, Metallica, and he mentioned one other group I don't remember, but they were all like kind of like heavy metal groups, and that was music, not this rubbish." And I was kind of agreeing with him. You know, my taste in music doesn't really go that far. I like Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. That's much better than a lot of the trash nowadays. And Metallica has some good songs. I forget what other group he mentioned. And I was not going to get, you know, into a discussion about music with him. But I kind of agreed in general about what he was saying, because today's music is really, really bad. Really, really bad. It is so classless, so devoid of talent, and because it's a reflection of our decline. We are really going down at every level. But the reason why I mentioned all of this is that because I was, I saw that he had no interest in really hearing what I had to say, because I would have had a more engaging conversation with him, but he was like, he was just commenting on the music and didn't want to take it beyond that. But if he had kind of engaged me a little more, I would have said to him, "Yeah, you're right. This is the worst generation in American history, the most stupid bunch of people that have ever been put together in one generation, in one American generation. Idiots. It's just complete blithering idiots." I would have said that to him, and I would have said to him that, you know, Stairway to Heaven, that one song, it's better than most of the rubbish that's been produced in the last 10, 15 years. That song alone is much better than everything else that's been said. But then I would have said some things about the other two groups he mentioned, and who knows what he would have taken from there. And then I would have talked about how the country's fundamentally flawed, and that is the problem. And I think that I'm pretty sure he would not have even listened to me. He would have shut me out and not heard me anymore. And his like of those other groups, Metallica has some good songs, don't get me wrong, but the fact that he mentioned those two groups instead of other better groups is like a reflection of conservatism. Conservatism has this like for the good old days and certain things about the good old days, but the really good things that need to be celebrated are not celebrated. For example, conservatives celebrate Lincoln, but they really don't celebrate Sherman. General William Tecumseh Sherman and Grant deserve much more praise and admiration and celebration than Lincoln ever will ever deserve. Or John Fremont, the guy we talked about earlier in other audio snippets, he deserves to be honored and praised and remembered. Not Lincoln. Lincoln is a stupid idiot. He doesn't deserve to be listed in any list of great Americans. He's not even in the top 1 million. He's not even close. He is a shameful disaster. And that's why he deserved to be shot. That bullet had his name because he put it there. He etched his own name on his own bullet by the stupidities that he kept committing over and over again. And Hannibal Hamlin, the vice president that Lincoln so casually dismissed, he deserves to be exalted, not Lincoln. So it's like with this same guy, well, if you want to talk about great music of the 80s and 90s, well, talk about U2, talk about, or 70s and 80s Fleetwood Mac, you know, talk about other groups. Don't mention Metallica and whatever other group he mentioned as the examples of the great music of the 80s and 90s. So it's like they have a partial understanding of what's good, but they're stuck loving some things that are really not worth upholding that much. And so that brief conversation that I had with him, with his reflections, like we both know this generation is corrupted and terrible, has terrible taste in everything. But we disagree, I and America, conservative America, disagree on what is necessarily the right alternative. I'm personalizing it right now, but I do believe that what I'm saying here is the truth. This is what needs to be said. It's not my personal opinion. This is the truth. And no one's listening. So I believe we will shortly collapse unless something happens. And I still don't see it happening. I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I kind of see the light, but it's the joke goes, all I see is, and I hear the oncoming train. That's what I see when I see that light. It's not good at all. And we wanted to talk about the military at the time of the Civil War. I don't know if it's really worth saying here, but I think we'll try to talk about it. We've gone most of this audio snippet talking about things that are not supposedly related to Black America and the Civil War, but in many ways they are, because we are in the midst of a civil war again, and a kind of a figurative civil war. That is destroying the nation, just like the nation was about to be destroyed during the American Civil War. It's being destroyed right now. and it's being bungled, just like the Civil War was bungled by Lincoln and the likes of him, who didn't really do all the changes that needed to be done. So now we're forced to relive the struggle, and we're still not realizing, no, we have to go deeper into the changes that need to be done. And the voices of those who are speaking out that the radical change needs to be done are being ignored by the Lincolns of today, by the conservatives. Lincoln is the conservatives of America today. He represents them. And that's why I loathe him. That's why I loathe American conservatism, because it's keeping this country from getting to the truth, because they are halfway between the truth and the falsehood of the left. And everybody who's walking towards the lake, that lake of water that I was telling you about, they run into the conservatives halfway through, and then they stay and listen to them, and then they stay with them halfway through to the lake. So they become this roadblock. I hope I'm making sense in what I'm saying. It's like people who are waking up to the truth, they wake up and start walking towards the truth, and then they reach the conservative camp that's in between the truth and where they were. And they stay there because they say some interesting things, and they never leave. And so there's, it becomes this big distraction tent. Conservatism is this big distraction tent where everybody's just coming in and getting trapped. And then they say, okay, this is the truth I was looking for. No, the truth is still a few feet away. You were getting close to it, but you missed it because you thought this was what you were looking for. And speaking of U2, the famous song that they wrote, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, they, unfortunately, most people, when they get to the conservative tent, they go, oh, this is what I've been looking for. But those who are still earnestly looking for the truth, no, they have to sing U2's song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And they have to keep searching because this is not it. So that's why I loathe them so much. And the Lincolns of today are again trying to silence the quote radicals. And I'm using that term because that's what they call historically. I don't know if they called themselves that or if the term was used in those days, but radical Republicans was the term that was used to describe the part of the Republican Party that was fighting to really bring liberty to black people, especially after the Civil War during Reconstruction. They wanted things to be done to the South and against the South and in the South to really, really, really bring freedom and kind of make amends for what had happened during slavery. And Lincoln always saw them as these radical nut jobs, right-wing nut jobs of those days. He was the more moderate. He was part of the moderate wing of the Republican Party. He was a rhino. In using today's terms, he would be a rhino. He would be like the guy from Utah that ran in 2012, the Republican. That's Lincoln for you. If you could translate him, if he had lived in these days, he would be like that guy. So these Lincolns are constantly shunning the radical Republicans of today, and sometimes they take ideas from them because they feel the moral drawing to those ideas, but they just take enough to kind of satisfy their conscience, but without changing their underlying principles, and that's exactly what we're living through. And we see this in, you know, the corruption of the military and nowadays. But we'll talk about that later. I think this audio snippet was not really intended to be about the Civil War per se, but about modern events that I believe are intertwined. This is all one big thread. It's like, you know, like pulling that proverbial thread that kind of undoes the whole garment. That's kind of what we're doing here, pulling this thread, the Civil War thread, and then all these other things come out. And they're all interrelated. They're all consequences of each other. And I am saddened that we are getting to that point. And we'll therefore continue talking about the Civil War and the military and what's wrong with it in America in the next audio snippet. And for now, we can just hope that America will come out of its coma, because it's been in a coma since the 5th of November, 2008. And the people who can make it come out of the coma, the conservatives, are not waking up. And I doubt that they will. We have 14 months. That's all there is. And then the plug will be pulled, and there's nothing to fight for anymore. It's over. And again, this, you cannot force this on people. You cannot force them to wake up and listen. It has to come from within. Just like that guy lying in that coma bed, he has to wake up from inside. I mean, there's nothing you can do, but wait, it's up to him. And if he decides not to wake up, then he will not wake up. You cannot just force him. You cannot do some sort of artificial event to force them to wake up. There was this idiot in Cincinnati who was recently, who did some sort of attack on some federal building or something like that. I guess, and I'm not sure if he was just a nut job or a liberal pretending to be a conservative. I don't know, because nowadays so much strange stuff has happened. But if he is sincere, and he was a conservative outraged by what happened with the FBI raid on Trump's home in Florida, then he is one of those idiots, conservative idiots, who thinks that there's some external action, this external act of rebellion or force that things are going to change. And that's not how you change things. And that's not the solution. It has to come from within. And, you know, the kingdom has to come from within. The new kingdom has to come from within. But Americans just apparently don't have it in them, literally. And we'll see. So we'll wait. I feel like I have something else to say, but I'm not sure what that might be. We'll just hope that before the end of this year, there might be a sign of something that will begin the awakening of this nation. And if this nation goes down, I see a little hope for the rest of the world. I don't know where else there's going to be hope, because the rest of the world has always, in a sense, the future of the rest of the world has depended on the future of this country. And if this country goes down, is there a replacement? I don't see it yet. Because the rest of the world, maybe some place will rise up. It has to be a place in Europe, probably the UK, but I really don't know how, because the UK seems lost. It's not going to come from Africa or Asia. It's not going to come from any of those places. It has to be Europe. And in all of Europe, the only place with hope is, slight hope, is the UK. But even the UK is messed up. So that's why my hope is growing dimmer and dimmer by the day about the restoration of things, especially in this generation. This is the most stupid generation that has ever existed in America. And this is why it's dying, I guess, during this generation. All right, thank you very much. And we'll continue talking about the Civil War and Black America and the military in the next audio snippet. Thank you very much.